Have you ever felt yourself becoming impatient? Anybody? Yeah, you said, yep. You know those moments in life, right, where you feel like I've had enough of my boss. Like if I get assigned one more mundane task, I am going to lose it. Or I've had enough of my kids. If I hear my name called one more time in this day, like I have a limit and it's like 200 times in the span of 24 hours and it is 2 p.m. and I've already crossed that barometer, like I cannot do this anymore. I've had enough of my spouse. I've told them at least 15 times by now, what time the girls need to be picked up from the carpool line. I can't do it again. I've had enough of my roommate, right? Like, they've got to clean up the dishes at least once every, you know, quarter. Like, this is unbelievable. When this lease is up in 3.5 months, like, I'm living alone. I'm moving out. Sports fans, I've had enough of these referees, right? Like, we didn't pay all this money to come watch you, sir or ma'am. What are you looking at? Or I've had enough of this traffic on 400. All these people just keep wanting to move to the city of Atlanta. Can we just put out like a nationwide memo that maybe says, I don't know, like Atlanta, we full, you know, like we're full, we're good. For me, it was a couple of months ago, maybe, yeah, about a month and a half ago, and my streaming cable provider, the app that I use to stream cable, was not connecting. It was not working. I won't say any specific names because I don't want to call anybody out, but I am like, this isn't good. And normally, I'll be honest, like, if my app's down or something and it's not connecting, it's not working, I'm not getting TV, it's not that big of a deal. Sometimes I'm just like, ah, it'll work itself out. Other times I'm like, okay, I'll call, but not right now, you know. In this moment, so it was a crisis in the Noblet household because it was mid-March, which means March Madness, the NCAA tournament, right? Like, I was like, this isn't good. Games have started. I need TV, you know. I need to watch these games. I've, like, taken off work to watch these games in some ways. And so I call. Sorry, Joel, you might not have known that. So I call, and I'm like, hey, like, you know, I'm having these issues. And they're like, okay, yeah, yeah. Can we put you on a brief hold? And before I can respond, I'm on hold. And sure enough, this music kicks in right here. Yeah. Yeah, you've heard it before. And at first, I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, I'm kind of vibing with it, to be honest. Like, it's making it all better. I'm like, forget the games for a minute. What is this? Like, YouTubing it, it's Cisco waiting music, you know, it's a beat though. It's great. Like, I'm with it. Just wait one moment. It's just this is good. The beat should drop here in a second. You're like, what beat? Okay, anyways, let's move on. So after about 25 minutes of sitting there listening to the music, I probably wasn't listening to the music for 25 straight minutes. Like, at some point I zoned out, but I was over it after that period of time. And then another representative comes on the line and it's a different person, which is always fun. So I have to explain my situation again. This time I was a little bit less patient, a little bit more urgent and getting my words out. Like, I'm not saying a lot. I'm just like, not working. We need to fix it. Just fix it, you know? And they're like, oh, sir, we can see that you're having some technical support issues. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we're gonna have to transfer you to our technical support department because we deal with billing questions and issues. And I'm like, okay. And I'm feeling like this isn't good. I can start to feel myself like losing it. You know, I'm getting more and more frustrated. So they transfer me. The representative answers and is like, can we put you on a brief hold? And then you know what happens. There it is. It's back, right? This time I'm not vibing with it at all. I'm like, nah, not here for it. You know, I put my phone down, turn it up just loud enough to be able to hear. Finally, this representative, this kind representative comes back on the line, and this person is like walking me through all these different troubleshooting steps, like 7 or 8 different steps. None of it is working, by the way. And then they're like, oh, sir, have you attempted to disconnect and reconnect your TV? To which I'm like, for clarity, are you saying, have I tried unplugging and plugging my TV back in? And they're like, correct. And I was thinking, is this a common solution? Because if so, it feels like we could have started here about an hour ago. And so I go and I unplug my TV. I count to 10 like they told me to do. I plug it back in. And what do you know? TV's back on. It's working. My bracket's already busted. It's all good. So, moral of the story, the next time your streaming cable app doesn't seem to be connecting, Simply unplug the TV, ladies and gentlemen, and plug it back in. And somebody in the room is like, I'm so glad I came to be in church today. Amen. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Like, we're good. No, I'm kidding. Hey, this morning we get to continue on our series that we've been in titled, What Our World Needs Now. What Our World Needs Now. And there are a number of things and policies and changes and people that we all could come up with that we might say, this is what our world needs now, or this is who our world needs now. But what we've said throughout the course of this series, that what our world needs now is actually for Christians to be Christ-like, for Christ followers to follow the way of Jesus, right? For Christ followers to be maturing in their faith, growing in their faith. And what Christ-likeness looks like really is the foundation of this series. We're talking about the way we are to respond, the way we are to talk, the way we are to act. And this is what the Apostle Paul refers to as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, the byproduct of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside all of those who have put their trust and faith in Jesus. And Paul gives us a list of this fruit, these virtues. And even if you haven't cracked open your Bible in a while, or you know you have the Bible app somewhere on your phone, but you're not sure what folder you put it in, right? Even if that's you, you've probably at least heard of this list. Like, I bet your grandmother has it cross-stitched, hanging over the towel rack in her bathroom or something like that. Maybe it's just me. And this list, it really doesn't take much convincing for me to convince you whether you're a person of faith or not. Why, if every Jesus follower were to live out these virtues, these attributes, these characteristics, our world would be better. Our workplaces, our families, our governments, our decision-making, it would be better. It really is what our world needs now. So let's take a look at what Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. He says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And today we're in part four of this series, and so we're going to be talking about this right here, forbearance, which may be a better, more commonly used translation in our vocabulary today in a way that many of your Bibles might translate it, is this word right here, patience. And I'll be honest with you, I'm someone who is susceptible at times, my wife would say like oftentimes, to losing things, right? Like, maybe you can relate. I often lose my phone, I lose my work fob or my keys, I lose my wallet. I lose my car keys. I lose my coffee cup. Like, literally this morning, it's like, oh, like, I know I placed that. Where was it? Oh, there it is, right there, you know? But you know what I've found to be so easy to lose, yet so difficult, like almost impossible to fully recover? It's not your keys. It's not your coffee cup. It's not your wallet. No, it's your patience. Your patience. All of us know what it's like to lose our patience. Maybe more than you'd like to admit. In fact, maybe for you, you lost it a little bit on the way into church this morning, right? Like, you're driving in and you could feel it. It's that ever so slight nudge inside of you that says, oh, I've had about enough. Like, we gotta go. We're gonna be late. I'm over it. Just make the decision. I don't know what to tell you. I really can't fix this issue for you. And you're losing your patience. Patience can be so easy to lose, yet oftentimes feels so impossible, at least in the moment, to get it back. But come on, here's what I know to be true, is that everything that matters in life requires patience. Like, it's true. Relationships, healthy relationships, it's going to require patience. Parenting will certainly require patience. All aspects of your health, your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, even your spiritual health, it's going to require patience. Advancements in your career takes time, right? Like, it requires patience. Education, like getting that degree, getting that master's, whatever it is that you're working towards, it requires patience. Walking through difficult seasons in life requires patience. Like, patience is essential. Yet here's the problem. Our culture is not at all currently programmed to develop patience within our lives. In fact, it's just the opposite. Everything in our culture is now just one click away, or at least it's moving in that direction. Like, you need food, just go to Grubhub. A couple clicks, you're there. Need a ride, Uber. Need groceries, Instacart. Need literally anything that's ever been created in the world within a matter of hours on your front doorstep, Amazon. There it is. Even when it comes to inserting your voice on any given topic, person, or current event, you no longer have to wait until Monday to be back in the office with your coworkers. No, you just pull out your phone and you start typing away on social media and you click post and there it is, your voice is inserted into the world. Our culture is programmed to develop impatience, not patience, which we all like, by the way, because it caters to our natural default settings as humans. Like, we don't like to wait. We don't. And everything in our culture is shifting towards being one click away, on demand, customized to your preferences, 24/7, 365. Like, come on, be honest with me for a second. How many of you have ever burned your mouth on a Hot Pocket? A lot of you, like more than I thought. You couldn't wait 7 seconds, bro. Like, what in the world is going on? You know, we're the generation, I say this all the time to the college students, we're the generation that we burn our mouths on Hot Pockets. We don't like to wait. Like, we need help. We need to develop patience in our life. And our culture isn't designed for it. And that's probably not gonna change anytime soon. And none of us, hear me on this, none of us are just gonna drift towards patience where it's like, oh, well, as I like grow up and mature, I'll just become like more and more patient. No, no, it's not really how it works. You don't just wake up one morning and say, oh man, today I'm patient, wild, not sure how this happened. No, so what do we do? Like, how can we develop patience in our life? It's a fruit. How can it be cultivated in our life? How do we develop patience with our coworkers? How can we develop patience with our kids? How can we develop patience with our parents or our in-laws? How can we develop patience with people who are wrong? How can we develop patience with people who have wronged you? How can you develop patience with yourself when you're wrong? How do we have patience in suffering? How do we have patience with God? Patience is, it's really not a natural trait. You're not just born with it. If you don't believe me, let me just ask you or encourage you. Have you ever spent time with a three-year-old? Like you quickly realize that, oh, this doesn't just come to you. It's something you develop. And patience is not you avoiding adversity. Patience is not, it's not weakness. Patience doesn't mean that, oh, you just never get angry about anything. No, patience is vital to the health of your relationships, and it's essential to our obedience to God. And so today we're gonna look at James chapter 5, and James is gonna reveal to us a few key areas in life where we're gonna need patience. And he's gonna illuminate kind of some steps we can take, some ways that we can begin to develop this type of patience in our life. But before we dive in, let me give a little context. James is actually the half-brother of Jesus. And in this text that we're about to read, he's calling Christians, Christ followers, those specifically who are walking through some hardship. He's calling them, encouraging them, challenging them to patiently endure. And in this text that we're about to read, James illustrates four types of patience that are going to be needed to endure in life. So let's dive in. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, is where we are. This is what he writes. He says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains." So James is like, hey, I want you to be patient. And he uses this example of the farmer. He's like, pay attention to how the farmer waits. Like, he waits patiently for the crops to grow. He knows that when the seeds are planted, that they're not just gonna produce fruit overnight. I wish it could work that way. That's not the way it works. No, you gotta be patient. You gotta water it. You gotta tend to it. You have to patiently wait. But if you do, then in due time, like, you'll see the fruit. And isn't it true in our lives? Like, we wanna see the fruit immediately. Because that's what's fun. That's what we like to post on social media. It's the fruit. It's the results. It's the promotion, it's the success, it's the degree, it's the things that we're working towards, and we wanna see it quickly. We don't wanna have to wait, we don't have to go through the process. We wanna see the fruit. But as James is saying here is, hey, you can get there, But more days in life than not are not going to be fruit days. More days are going to be root days. Days where you have to develop your roots. And as you do, the fruit will be produced in time. But you have to develop and cultivate the roots in your life. And our roots ultimately determine our reach. But these days are the days that are unseen, the days that are hard, the days that it seems like it doesn't even matter. But you can't look over these days. No, you have to be patient in these days in order to get here. I think the first type of patience that James is suggesting that we're gonna need is patience in life. That you and I are gonna need to have patience in life. Why? Well, because life doesn't always go the way that you want it to go, right? Like our plans don't always work out the way we wanted them to work out or with the timeline that we had in mind. But just like the farmer that James mentions, if you patiently wait and trust that God is at work, then in due time there will be a significant crop that is produced in your life. He goes on. He says, you too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. He says, be patient and stand firm, which have you ever noticed that when you're feeling impatient, it's hard to stand firm. Like when you're impatient, you actually just want to move. You want to go get it done. You want to figure it out. You're like, no, I'm impatient. That's why I can't stay where I am. Like with my daughters, it's like this all the time. It's like, hey, just be patient. Take a breath. Like you're okay. You know, literally this just happened in between services. I'm like, hey, just chill for a minute. James is saying, be patient and stand firm. Why? Because the Lord's coming is near. Not just like, oh, one day he's going to return and come back again. Yes, that. But also like, he's moving right now. He's working on your behalf. Wait patiently. Trust him. Trust that while we wait, we also work in partnership as faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. I need to point this out. It's important to note that I think sometimes when we think about being patient and when we think about like waiting on the Lord, what we think that means is just, oh, okay, then I'll just go ahead and like sit and God's gonna do it. No, that's called being lazy. There's a difference between waiting patiently on the Lord and being lazy and not being a good steward over what God has entrusted to you. To patiently wait on the Lord is to trust him and to say, man, I believe he's gonna do it. I have faith he is working, faith that he's gonna move, but I have so much faith in him that I am going to work what he's given to me. And I'm gonna be diligent. And as I do, man, I can endure, patiently endure, trusting that God's at work and he's gonna move. Like, I think this is a pretty good definition of patience. Patience is the courage to wait. It's the courage to trust. It's the courage to work, inspired by faith that God is going to move. Patience really is the courage inside of you to wait and to trust because you have faith that God's at work and he's going to move. So you can stand firm and have courage to wait because you know, like, God's moving. He's coming. He's gonna work it out. I can trust him. Patience oftentimes is gonna require you to operate out of what you know to be true rather than what you feel in the moment. Because oftentimes you're gonna be like, man, I don't feel like waiting. Like, God, just come through. I can't wait any longer. God, it doesn't feel like you're with me. Like, where are you? You feel really absent in this moment, in this season of my life. Oh, but I know, Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 9, God's with you wherever you go. So I'm gonna operate out of what I know, not what I feel. Because I know he's with me. I know he's at work. I know he sees the whole picture. Patience will say, man, if you could operate out of what you know rather than what you feel, then you'll have the willingness to endure. James goes on, he says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So the next suggestion that James gives us is, hey, not only are you gonna need to have patience in life, but you're gonna need to have patience with people, right? All of us understand this. Like sometimes you're like, no, I just can't with people today, you know? And when you're hurting, it's really easy and tempting to be harsh with other people. But let me just challenge you with this. When people are frustrating you, or they're just hard to be patient with, it's people you love, it's people you work with, whoever it is, when people are hurting or when people mess up, may our hearts break, especially as Christ followers. May our hearts break before our minds judge. Let me say that again. When people are hurting or they mess up, may our hearts first break before our minds begin to judge and create a story or a scenario as to why they're in the situation they're in. May our hearts first break. And may we have patience with people. He goes on, he says, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience, like, come on, James, give us some examples. As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, it's important to note, suffering is different than just the ordinary trials and problems in life. Like, suffering is major loss. Suffering is major pain. We're all going to walk through some suffering in life. Some of you right now, you're walking through some suffering in your life. Some major loss. Some major pain. You know what that's like. And I think the prophets are a really interesting example here. James says, consider the prophets. And like, let's just think about the prophet Jeremiah mentioned in the Old Testament. Like Jeremiah, he preached this message of repentance. And every time he preached, the people would then persecute him. Like they would beat him up, literally. But Jeremiah kept preaching, but at the same time, he was honest with his emotions. Look at this, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. He says, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? Jeremiah's going around preaching this message of repentance, but he's like, hey, why does it seem like all the wicked people, like they're the ones that their life is working out well and they're getting what they want and it seems like the fruit is coming? And like, why? I don't understand, God. He's honest with God in this moment. I think there's something to it. I think there's a reason that James uses Jeremiah as an example. James goes on, verse 11. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered, those who have continued on, those who have endured. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. I am so encouraged here that James goes on to use Job as an example. Because if you've ever read the book of Job, it seems as though the only thing Job does right is that he prays. He keeps praying. That's about it. Like Job walks through some immense moments of suffering. He loses his kids. His wife at one point in the story tells him just to give up on God. It's like, just give up. I think what James is suggesting here is the third type of patience we're gonna need in life, which is patience in suffering. We're gonna need patience in life. We're gonna need patience with people. And we're gonna need patience in suffering. Back to the reality that some of you are walking through suffering, or you know what it's like, just came through a season of suffering. All of us at some point will walk through suffering. And whatever it is that you're going through, it's like you hold that in one hand, right? But my encouragement, James' encouragement here would be, in the other hand, what would it look like for you to hold that the Lord's coming is near? Because if you only hold on to your suffering and you only focus on what you're going through, what you're feeling, what emotions you're experiencing, then what will happen is you'll become bitter. Over time, you'll become self-absorbed. And I don't want that for you. I know that's not what you want for yourself either. But if you can hold both what you're going through, what you're experiencing, how hard it is, but also the fact that the Lord is with you and he's coming and one day he's gonna make all things right. If you can hold them both in each hand, it expands your view. It gives you a new perspective. Why? Well, James says it. Because the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So as you're patient with what you're walking through, holding that in one hand, in the other hand, remembering that the Lord's coming is near, you'll see and experience and feel in your life the compassion, the mercy of God in time. May not ever make complete sense, but he'll begin to give purpose to your pain. Final suggestion James is giving is, hey, you need to have patience with God. And come on, I know we're in church. I know we're watching, engaging with church online. But I think many of you, if you're being honest, myself included, would say that at times we are not patient with God. In fact, at times it's not even that I'm not patient. It's not even that I'm impatient. It's that I lost my patience like 10 years ago with God. Because he didn't come through when I needed him the most. So like, okay, he's trustworthy. We sing these songs, but is he? And it's easy, right? And maybe it's giving you a little bit of freedom to be like, yeah, you're right. Like if the preacher's saying it, I guess I can amen it. Like, yeah, sometimes it's hard to be patient with God. And we often come to these moments in life, these pivotal moments in life where we're faced with the decision that you can either trust God and walk patiently with the Lord and trust that he's working, trust that he's going to show you the way, trust that he's going to redeem this incredible hurt in your life, or you can kind of go your own way and look for comfort and peace, whatever it is that you're looking for, somewhere else. It's kind of this crossroads, this decision. James is saying, hey, be patient with God. He's at work. He's moving. I know it's a broken world you live in, but I'm telling you, he sees the whole picture. He's not done with your story yet. So in summary, James says we need patience in life. We need patience with people. We need patience in suffering, and we need patience with God. The question is, how can we cultivate this type of patience in our lives? Easy to talk about. Much more challenging to actually go do. Well, I think there's a few practical applications that we can pull and some steps that maybe we can take or consider taking that will begin to maybe cultivate or produce this type of patience in partnership with the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And the first is this: process disappointments with prayer. This is key. For some of you, hear me on this. You telling God today exactly how you feel might just be the holiest action you could partake in today. What do I mean by that? Like on your drive home, especially if it's just you in the car, be honest with God, unfiltered. What does that mean? You know what that means. Like have an honest conversation with God. Like Job did. Jeremiah, like tell him how you're feeling. Tell him, God, this is where I lost it with you. Like this is where my patience, where I lost it. And I want it back, kind of, God, but I think it's gone. Just be honest with them. Prioritize the disappointments in your life with prayer. Second thing is this: prioritize humility. Prioritize humility. This doesn't come natural. Again, patience is not a natural trait. You have to lean into it. Think about this. When Jesus is going to the cross to die on the cross, he's not excited about the act of dying on the cross. In fact, he's having this honest conversation with God the Father, and he's like, if there's any other way, not my will, but yours be done. If Jesus humbled himself in obedience, maybe our response should be, then so will I. Where do you need to be obedient? Where do you need to practice humility? Identify the area and say, okay, if Jesus did, then so will I. Practice humility. Prioritize humility. The third is this. I want you to practice patience when life gets hard. Not if life gets hard, but when life gets hard. Practice patience. I was thinking about this and trying to illustrate this for you because I feel like I needed something to be like, hey, I'm telling you, it's worth it. I know when life is hard, it's even harder, more difficult to practice patience, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. And it's like this. We have any college football fans in the room? Okay, seven of you, we're in the South, you're lying. Don't lie, it's like the whole room, right? You're like, yeah, can't wait, a countdown. You know, some of you are like 122 days till kickoff, yeah, but no countdown. I go to some college football games from time to time, and I noticed, it was more than like further back than this, but at least like a few years ago, they started doing this thing where when there would be a call on the field that was a little bit debatable, which for most avid college football fans is like every single call. But one that like everybody knew, like, ooh, is that pass interference? Like, what is that? I'm sorry, if you're not a football fan, you're like, what is he talking about? What's pass interference? It just doesn't matter. But like when there's a debatable call, you know what they do? They say, hold on, I'm gonna pause the game for a minute, and they send it up to the booth for further review. And the people up in the booth, right, like they have a different perspective. And so they start like, you know, the referees are putting on this headset and they're like communicating with the people up in the booth, and the people up in the booth are like looking at it from the play from like a million different angles, it seems like, you know, and they're like zooming in on it. Then they're running it back and they're watching it. And all the people who are in the stadium, they're all just patiently waiting. Like, okay, what's the call? And sometimes it's like you're waiting. You're like, what could they possibly be looking at? Like, they start to throw it up on the screens in the stadium. And the fans are like, that's the call. Like, there's no further questions that need to be asked, you know? And then finally, after they feel like they've looked at the play long enough, they send the call back down to the field to the referees who have the headsets on. And then the referees get the call. They're like, all right. They walk to the field. They turn on their microphone. And they're like, upon further review, the ruling on the field stands, or upon further review, the ruling on the field has been overturned. The call's been changed. Hey, I wonder what it could look like for you as you do this, as you practice patience when life gets hard. I wonder maybe if that's the approach. Man, this is hard. Man, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem fair. Man, this can't be the way it's gonna work out ultimately. Hey, I'm gonna be patient. God, I'm going to send this, this might sound cheesy, but I'm going to send this up to the booth. I need your perspective. I know that you see things that I don't. I know you can look at this from angles that I can't see right now in the moment. I need you to let me know what you're seeing. What is it? And I wonder if in time, as you practice patience in the midst of hard times in your life, hard seasons in your life, loss in your life, I wonder if in time, maybe you'd hear from the Lord and it'd be like, oh, upon further review, I'm gonna be all right. Upon further review, there still is hope. Upon further review, I'm gonna have the strength to try again. Upon further review, I can forgive that person that wronged me. Upon further review, when you practice patience when life gets hard, I think you can start to hear from the Lord in ways that maybe you didn't expect. But it's not going to happen unless you're willing to have the courage to be patient. I'll close with this story. I've got two daughters, 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. My oldest, her name's Willow. My youngest, her name's Naomi. She goes by Nomi. And I love them. I love being a girl dad. And about, I guess, a month or two ago, maybe, I'm at home. My wife, Ann, she is a credible mom. She's gone somewhere. I think she might have been at small group, actually, and here in this church. And she's like, hey, like, you got this? And I'm like, yeah, I got it, you know? And so I'm like, all right, girls, let's do this. And so I'm like, what are we going to do for dinner? And I open up the fridge. And I'm like, yeah, let's do spaghetti. Mistake number one, right? So I like pull out my spaghetti and we're about to eat it and everything. And mind you, my oldest daughter, Willow, she's any firstborn children in the room? Yeah. Yeah, like, you know the stereotype, it's like the firstborn, the oldest, it's like you just got it all together, you're the rule follower, like you actually probably should be the parent, you know? That's kind of what Willow is embracing these days, especially with her little sister, Nomi. Like, she's just the one that's like, Nomi, don't do that. Nomi, Nomi, step, Nomi, darling, darling. And I'm like, Willow, like, you don't need to refer to her as darling, you know? And so that's kind of happening here. I pull out the spaghetti. Willow's eating it. She's actually doing a better job, like, keeping it on her plate and off of her shirt than I am. You know, she's like, Dad, Dad, you got a little bit. And I'm like, thanks. I appreciate that bit. You know, and then Nomi, though, Like, Nomi is the second child, and you know the stereotype that comes there, right? Like, the youngest, that's Nomi. Like, she's every bit of crazy, you know? Like, she's all over the place, so I can't keep her in her seat in this moment. She is falling out. She's running around. I'm like, Nomi, just please take a seat. I'm already behind schedule. I'm like, Mom is never going to let me do this again, you know? I'm like, you guys should be in the bath by now, and we're just eating dinner. This is not good. And so Nomi's just losing it. And then finally I get her to sit down, and she sits down for like, oh, I don't know, maybe 9 seconds. And then she stands up on her chair, which I'm not about to do because that could go terribly wrong. But she stands up on her chair. She grabs her plate of spaghetti. I'm not making this up. I wish I was. And she begins to dump it out on the ground while looking me square in the eyes. Like, what are you going to do about it, little man? You know? That's how I'm feeling in this moment. I'm like, I can't call in. I can't call in. I need to call in. I can't call in. I'm like, what am I going to do here, you know? And so I can feel myself like getting heated. But of course, because I'm a pastor, I always handle these moments perfectly with so much grace. So I'm like, darling, Nomi, what are you doing? Are you serious? Oh my goodness. No, like, this cannot be happening right now. You know, and I immediately feel a little bit convicted. I'll be honest. I was like, that's too much. Like, I lost it a little bit. I raised my voice too high, you know, and I start to think. It's like the Holy Spirit in this moment feels like it just gives me this nudge. So I'm getting ready to walk over to Nomi, have a conversation. From the corner of the table, Willis says, hey, Dad, doesn't Nomi need a consequence? To which I'm like, wanting to say, she sure does. And Willow, what should that consequence be? You step in, actually, I'm checking out, you know? But I didn't go that route. I felt this nudge, and it was like, Matt, just be patient. Like, this is just a story that an hour from now you're going to tell of how you responded in this moment. So I get down, I'm like, Willow, come here. I get down on their level, and I'm like, hey, Nomi's not making the best choices right now. But that doesn't change the reality that I love both of you so much. And I thought about this moment, and I thought, man, that's a picture of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the gospel really is the greatest example of patience. Like, this is the gospel in summary. It's that everyone is wrong, but yet everyone is loved, and no one earned it. Everyone is wrong. We've all messed up and fallen short. We've all at times been like Nomi, where it's like, yeah, I'm just going to go my own way, and like, yeah, I'll figure it out later. Forget you, God. You know, I'm going to go my own way. I know best. But yet everyone is loved by their heavenly Father, and no one earned it. We couldn't. It makes me wonder if when the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's this chapter, this amazing chapter known as the love chapter. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard it read. It makes me wonder that when Paul is writing about what love is, if he's not just thinking of love in terms of like this like concept, you know, this like, oh, love. Like, if he's thinking, no, love is not just a concept. Love is a person. Love is Jesus. He is love. And I wonder if Paul is going to write this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. And notice the first thing he writes about love is this. He says, love is patient. I think that's on purpose. Love is patient. Man, Jesus Christ is patient. And the more aware I am, the more aware we are of God's patience with me, with us, the more able we'll be to be patient with other people. And when you get this, I'm telling you, the courage to be patient, it's going to rise up inside of you. Of like, how could I not be when God has been so patient with me? How could I not be patient with others? Be patient in the midst of hard times. Be patient with you, God. Of course. because patience really is the courage to wait, the courage to trust, inspired by faith that God is going to move. So lean in. Cultivate patience in your life. Patience in life, patience with people, patience in suffering, and patience with God. And trust that He's working, He's moving, He sees you. I'd love to pray for us. Heavenly Father, first off, just thank you for being patient with me. God, thank you for being patient with humanity, that even though we so often mess up, we get it wrong, you're still there, you still love us, you're still pursuing us. And so God, I pray today that you'd give us the courage to be patient in life, the courage to be patient with people, to be patient even in suffering, and to be patient with you, God. And I pray that you'd give us the wisdom to know how. Sometimes it feels like, Lord, we can't do this on our own. And the reality is, that's true. But praise God, praise you, Lord, because we're not alone. You're with us, and your Spirit is at work in our lives for all those who believe and have put their faith and trust in you, Jesus. Your Spirit is at work in our lives. So help us to tap into that and to live out patience every single day. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.